Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the first chapter. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high shall visit us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As the priests slaughtered the lambs, Zechariah vested. The service began in reverent silence. He splashed the blood against the altar and stoked its fire. He washed his feet and took the censer into the holy place. And there, alone in front of the curtain, he brought the petitions of the people before the Lord. And at last he emerged and set out the meat on the coals with the flour and the incense. And as the column of smoke rose, Zechariah turned and raised his hands to sing the first and only word in that service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But of course, there was no benediction that day because the angel had struck Zechariah mute. What kind of worship would it be without any words? Incomplete. In fact, missing the most important part, the promise, the word from someone else, for us, toward us, and put upon us. That's the word that frees us to worship and to serve the Lord without fear, by forgiving sin, by covering with grace, by declaring peace with God. The divine service of the Old Testament enacted God's grace. It distributed his gifts and sanctified his people. And the benediction itself was the simple but profound promise of this. Behold, the Word is now made flesh, and Christ is revealed as the sole sacrifice who atones for sin fully once and for all. All of the lambs of the temple pointed to him all along. Now in the New Testament and in our divine service, the word of Christ, our mediator, sounds forth in abundance. And if ever it doesn't, well, then our worship would become incomplete. After 9 months, we almost expect Zechariah's first words to finish right where he left off. Proclaim that benediction that was not heard on the fateful day. But instead, when his voice is loosed, he sings, not "the Lord bless you," but "blessed be the Lord," because he visits and redeems his people. This is a new song. It's a spiritual song of the New Testament in Christ's blood, sung in concert with all of the prophets before him who, since the world began, have been looking forward to that promised offspring. Perhaps his family thought that the proud father would sing something about his newborn son, but instead he sings, most of all, about Jesus. What else could a faithful priest sing about, or a musician in the church, or a forerunner? I must decrease. Christ must increase. We proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Let us learn from Zechariah and from John his son the sorts of words and songs that must fill our worship. Those songs that give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Everything in the Christian church is ordered toward this end, that daily we receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ. And do we ever find the forgiveness of sins boring? Then we are missing what the gospel declares to us in its many and superabundant ways, that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is nothing boring or simple or minimal. There is nothing less than salvation and life itself abounding there. Atop the morning sacrifice, on the fire and the smoke and the pleasing aroma of the Lamb, all other sin offerings and thank offerings and every need of every day would be sent up in flame to God. And so it is with you, dear saints, all of you, priests in the Lord's royal New Testament priesthood. In Christ's great atoning sacrifice, you have every blessing. In the forgiveness of sins by his blood, you have confidence that your prayers are heard. You bring them not on account of how pleasingly perfect you are, but in the pleasing aroma of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, especially your sins. It is his name that you pray in. The forgiveness of sins then frees you so that your life and your work may be done without fear, holy and righteous in his sight. Christ serves his blessings to us. He announces his gracious promise, and he sanctifies us again with his cleansing blood. And so we turn to confess him in our canticles. We serve him with our minds and our bodies. And we bring our petitions to a close with a confident Amen. That silence in Zechariah's service signaled that the temple was coming to an end. The shadows were now giving way to the body that had cast them, Christ the Messiah. But the benediction was not abrogated by this, nor was it made obsolete by Christ. It was simply opened up. It was expanded. It was revealed fully. That's why you hear it so regularly. Because the Lord's face shines on us in Christ, our day spring, who is here to bless and give peace, is present in his words, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And now we sing a Te Deum of thanksgiving for the Nativity of John, although I suppose a repeated Benedictus would have been just as fitting today. The Lord's apostles and priests and prophets are honored most when the Christ they serve and we serve is magnified. So let us hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.